Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Iolo Radio. Call in today, 718-664-9145 to join the show live. Iolo Radio is the place to be for you as an independent Iolo agent. Tune into Iolo Radio Monday through Friday to catch up on the latest news from Iolo. For merchants across America, Iolo's no-credit check rent-to-own program turns potential customers into paid-in-full customers because people across America are discovering Iolo merchants who give their customers a rent-to-own option have found a way to take it home today. Even if they have poor credit or no credit with Iolo, they can take it home today the Iolo way. Our switchboard's lighting up right now, and if you want to join in today's conversation, simply dial 718-664-9145 and press 1 on your phone if you want to participate in today's show. Text your team now and remind them to go to IOLORadio.com to listen to today's show on the Internet. And now, let's get started with today's episode of Iolo Radio.
All right. It's Wednesday morning. We're excited to be back on the air with you, the independent Iolo agent. My name's Tony Williamson, your show host today, and I'm on board with Mr. Bud Nemeth, Director of Marketing. Good morning to you, Bud. How are you this morning, my friend?
Fantastic, Tony. How are you?
Doing really well. I'm doing really well. I'm traveling in the south, southern states today, and enjoying the warmer weather, and the humidity in the air is refreshing, and even though it's raining, it still seems to quite pleasant, so I'm glad to be in a little bit warmer air. So anyway, I think it's an exciting show today because we've got Mr. Alan Hanke, CEO and president of the company. So the phones are, the switchboard's lighting up right now. Also, I want to say good morning to Mr. Donnie Crisp and Rodney Cox. Rodney and Donnie are both kind of working the switchboard in the background. And if you want to join the conversation at any point today, you can hit 1 on your phone, and that will raise your hand for us, and we can see that you do have a question or a comment. And Rodney or Donnie may be talking to you in the background just to discover what it is that you want to talk about. So we have had 2 days already this week, chock full of information, Bud, and I got to tell you, I think it was extremely helpful. The feedback has been great from the field in the respect that people, agents in the field, really are really starting to grasp now, and because of the teaching that you shared just the last 2 days, they're really starting to grasp, you know, the detail of what the merchant needs to know and how important it is for us to educate those merchants. And that's on the heels of 2 great shows we had late last week with Duval, and she was sharing her strategy, and that's exactly her strategy, is to educate the merchant, educate the merchant's employees, so that everybody really understands the true benefit of Iolo. So given all that, Bud, I want to give you a chance to share any news that you have today before we before Alan's on board with us. Do you know what his schedule is and when he's going to join us today?
Well, he should be joining us any minute now. Before he does join us, though, I do want to go over a couple of things. First of all, in light of, by the way, the feedback that we've had that I've gotten personally from the last 2 days has really been overwhelming. People are obviously, it was really needed in the field. The agents that are out working every day, that are out working with their merchants, enrolling their merchants, it absolutely has been a blessing to them for the past couple days, the radio show. So again, folks, if you have agents in your agency that are planning on going out or that are out in the field, I would definitely direct them to listen to the last couple of days' shows on IOLORadio.com if they weren't able to listen live and haven't been able to go yet, to definitely, especially if they've got new merchants enrolled and they're going to go do some training with them, to listen to the last couple days' shows. Let me just check. Yeah, I believe Alan's on. Do you see his number on the line?
Yeah, we've got Alan on board, so let's just go ahead and say good morning. How are you this morning, Alan? Glad to have you on the radio show with us.
Gentlemen, excited as usual. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, and Tony, before I bring Alan on officially, let me just tell you kind of the reason we invited Alan on today is in light of some of the recent changes that we've had and that we announced. We've announced, obviously, we went over them in detail on the radio show, as we do every morning to bring everybody up to date with the latest information. We also send emails out. Some people may have to go back and check the email address they have that they registered with, make sure that they're getting emails from corporate and such. We also posted information in the back office about changes, but some of the changes include deletions of some of the items that weren't 100% necessary, and we did that to make things easier for customers, for merchants, for agents. And at the same time, there were the addition of some requirements that are absolutely 100% necessary at this time to move forward and get us to where we want to be for our customers, our merchants, and our agents. So, again, I asked Alan to come on today to address some of the rules and regulations that are in place at IOLO to help you and the agents in the field understand why they're there. But before I bring him on to do that, I just wanted to review the philosophy of the company in order. And basically, when a decision is made in IOLO, it's not made lightly. And it's made basically in this order. And if you want to write this down, CMAI. CMAI. The first question before a decision is made, the first question is asked, is it good and beneficial to our customers? Because if it's not, that idea is dead in its tracks. It stops right there. Ultimately, it all comes down to customers, because with no customers, there's no company, okay? So that's the first question, is it good and beneficial to our customers? The second question is asked, if number one was answered yes, then the second question is it good and beneficial to our merchants? Because if it's not, if it's good for our customers but not our merchants, it stops there. It doesn't go any further, because with no merchants, there's no customers. So it's got to be beneficial to our customers and our merchants. The third question, if it passes number one and number two, is it good for our agents, the professionals that are out in the field bringing on merchants who in turn bring on customers? Because if we don't have any agents, we don't have any merchants, right? That's our business model. So the question is it good for our agents? And then the final question, the CMAI, customers, merchants, agents, and the I is IOLO. If it's good for our customers, it's good for our merchants, it's good for our agents, the last question is it good and beneficial to IOLO? Because if not, then it cannot be implemented. Because with no IOLO, no company, there's no agents, all right? So, you know, and I just want to point out that good and beneficial might not mean to you what it means to our customers or to our company. And really, if you keep in mind our primary philosophy, everything goes back to that. IOLO is here to help people who can afford an extra monthly payment to get the things they want or need. That's why we're here. We are not here to take people who may be in a bad financial position and put them in a worse financial position. Ultimately, if you read through that rental purchase agreement, we buy the item. So we own that item that we are then renting, doing the rental purchase agreement with our customers. And if they default and do not turn in that item, they ultimately could be arrested and go to jail. Now, how is that good for anybody? That's not what we want. And so, again, we do not want to take people that are in a bad position and put them in a worse one. So knowing our philosophy and knowing the process and the painstaking time and dedication that goes into every decision here, at IOLO, then I think that will help you understand a lot and help you out in the field. So with that said, I want to welcome our president, founder, and CEO, Mr. Alan Hanke. Alan, welcome this morning, and thank you for taking time out of your schedule to get on this radio show with us.
Bud, good morning to you, Tony as well, Donnie, and Rodney. Dylan, always doing a fantastic job on the show. I'm thankful for everything that you do on the radio show in the field. And also a special thanks to everybody that has joined the show as a guest speaker and certainly giving their input. I appreciate you having me on today, bud. Thank you.
All right. Well, Alan, if you could maybe want to address some of the recent changes that have been implemented in IOLO as far as it relates to maybe the merchant agreement and some of the requirements. I know some of the things you know, again, I just went over the decision-making process here, but maybe you can touch on, you know, the new requirements for our customers as far as the signed receipts and the physical ID and you know, maybe give some examples of why that's beneficial now for the company.
Yeah, and thank you for that and explaining exactly why we go through this decisioning process. This is a process. These things aren't taken lightly. There's many meetings and there's data that's involved. There's scrutiny as far as payment behaviors for both customers, merchant behavior as far as training is concerned, and many other things that go alongside making decisions like the ones we've been making. And many folks have called this change, but it's really not change. These are just implementations of policies that either have been in the works for quite a period of time or improvements in the program that allow us to both approve more customers, which is the most important thing that we can do to help our merchants and the agent, but also protect us from things that happen in a less than scrupulous world from a fraud perspective. We all think that everybody is above board, and we all think that nobody tries to game a system, but we also know that that's not in fact true. That's why we are priced how we're priced. Number one is default. Number two is the aspect of fraud always looms large over this type of business. We are dealing with folks that are typically less than credit qualified, so while we do not pull their credit, we do try to get some identifying factors from that consumer that allows us to make a better decision based on how we think their ability to pay is. And that's where everything really revolves around. Again, some people might call it change. We think it's evolution. We call it a process of learning more about our customer, learning more about our merchants, and in turn, helping our agents be more beneficial to the merchant that they serve. So on the customer side, we have recently now instituted with our new software upgrade the requirement for the merchant to provide us with a copy of the customer's identification card as well as a signed receipt by the customer indicating that that purchase has actually been made. The Rental Purchase Act, the Federal Rental Purchase Act, and some other state legislatures allow for the receipt of the customer's acknowledgement that they actually have the merchandise in either working condition and or acceptable condition, whether it be new or used. That is a requirement that is put on us by the federal government and each state legislature. So that receipt or that physical receipt signed by that consumer does a lot of things for us. But one is it actually proved that the customer, without dispute, received that merchandise. And number two, has received it in satisfactory condition. Let me give you an example why that's important. And again, these announcements were made several months ago that we were working on a software upgrade to allow these. But primarily speaking for the customer, it's important for a protection part, both for them and the merchant, to stop fraud. Case in point is a recent transaction that has happened between a merchant and a consumer where the consumer called after they received a letter from us with a copy of the rental purchase agreement. Many of the agents would probably know this by their training, but every single contract that is executed by a customer of Iolo is sent via email a copy of the executed agreement. They're also sent a copy via mail, regular snail mail, a copy of that same executed agreement to make sure that a couple of things can happen. Number one, if it was an error or fraud, they will immediately call us as a stopgap to say, hey, I didn't execute this agreement. I don't know what it's about, nor do I know who you are. So we can actually prove some higher level of merchant participation in that fraud at that point. But that has actually worked. Just recently, we had signed an agreement, or a customer signed an agreement with a merchant, apparently, and had not signed a receipt, had not provided an ID, and got a copy of a rental purchase agreement in the mail from us, executed. And we found out that that customer, in fact, had just gone in and inquired about a lease. The merchant filled out the contract, executed the contract. We funded the contract, and the customer called us stating that he did not make that purchase. We confirmed it with the merchant and subsequently pulled our money back from that merchant. But a good case in point that that wasn't accepted. So I'll stop there, Bud, to see if there's some questions on the customer side that I might be able to answer for you.
Well, I mean, I know I hear a lot of the stories where, you know, customers actually, some of them have bad intentions. They have no intention of making the payment. Some of them are actually pros at scamming the RTO industry. You know, that's another one of the things that goes back to where we don't want to put people in a bad position, you know, who may be in a bad position, in a worse position. So that's one of the reasons why I think, and tell me if this is correct, why the first payment is due in full at the time of purchase. I know there's some of our competitors that only require a processing fee up front, whether it's $40 or $50 or whatever, but the customer can then take that item and pay $40 or $50, take out a $1,000 item, never make the first payment. So this actually protects our true customers, not the customers that have no intention of ever making that first payment. Would you agree?
Yeah, you're
with that?
Exactly right. Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's one of the things that we've looked at very, very hard. And those companies that do require that small upfront, what they call application fee, are typically the companies that do a full credit check or at least a partial credit check to allow them to make a better decision based on their past history, either with that consumer, number one, or number two, that have a good credit basis for this type of program. But remember, our customers aren't credit checked. We take the full brunt of the exposure out on the front end. So while these requirements are certainly not cumbersome, to get somebody's ID and a signed receipt is certainly not that cumbersome for the merchant to collect the payment. It's actually been beneficial for the merchant because they get a payment from the consumer and or primarily really from us in the long run. But the consumer has some skin in the game. They have some commitment to Iolo to make sure that they have at least some skin in the game to make this payment further. We take 100% of the risk. You mentioned earlier that we are the titled person to this merchandise, and in fact we are. We're the ones that are sitting out there putting all the risk out for this consumer and making a credit decision, or I'm sorry, a non-credit based decision based on our ability that consumer is going to pay that note when it's due, or that rental payment when it's due. So it's important for us to make sure that we vet correctly, number one, that we get the correct consumer's information, because collusion between the merchant and the consumer also happens, and I'll talk about that here in just a second if you don't have any more questions about the customer.
No, I just know that the signed receipt and the physical ID actually protects our customers. You mentioned if there are unscrupulous merchants out there and they have the information, let's just say people have come in for the last 6 months and applied for a traditional credit with them and got denied, they've got all the information they need to fill out that application, and they can do it without, I mean, they're not supposed to, but I mean, they could physically go in and fill out the application and execute a contract if they have that information to fill in. So it does protect, the signed receipt protects our customers. Now, could the merchant forge that receipt? Sure. But to have a picture of an ID in front of them, and that's why I like the picture versus the photocopy, because they may have been able to get a photocopy from before, but the physical picture of it right there on top of the receipt with the date, it protects those customers who get that surprise letter in the email or letter in the mail saying, hey, I owe you money. You know, you owe Iolo money.
Yeah,
contract.
And it happens. It happens probably more often than you think. That's why we do send those out. And that, again, it's an extra level of protection. What we don't want to have is a customer that did not purchase something, that did not execute a contract, and a merchant that is pushing customers through, and in fact being a challenge for both Iolo, its merchants, its customers, and more importantly, the agent base. So while this is not an unreasonable request by any means, all the other companies require the same type of information. Now that we've got our software upgraded, we do the same thing. Very simple and easy to do, and it just gets sent into us, and it helps protect everybody along the way. But more important than that is the ability to also make sure that we track and keep tabs on our merchant base. So the customer, you may think, is less than scrupulous. Sometimes there are professionals out there that thrive on the rent-to-own industry and don't make payments. There are also merchants that do the same thing, and so much so that recently we've had an influx of merchants that have been either denied from or turned down from other rent-to-own companies and are using Iolo now as their sole source of this type of process in their establishments. Now, one of the most common tasks that the merchant does is execution of contracts without delivering merchandise to a consumer, which we just talked about a second ago, but also more important than that, and one that's very, very common, is that the merchant is trading merchandise with the consumer because they know them, they have a relationship, or they're performing services for them. Case in point is one that recently happened from a location where the consumer was a friend of and a contractor for the merchant. The consumer, in this particular case, happened to be a lighting contractor and was performing work for the merchant in return for a high-dollar cellular device. In other words, they were trading or bartering the cellular device for the installation of some lighting fixtures and some other things. But when the customer decided that he no longer wanted the cellular device, he wanted the cash, the merchant wanted to get paid for that cellular device and admitted so and sent us a receipt for the actual work that had been done by the contractor in order to get that paid. We were in absolute amazement that this would actually happen, but it happens all the time. People bartering things for different merchandise and actually no merchandise changing hands between the merchant and the consumer, and Iolo paying money to that merchant for a device that never actually traded hands. So I'll stop right there, but I know you've got some questions on that one.
Well, again, and it's tough for the agents in the field when we go out and we work and we do our best and we get up to speed and educate and go out and introduce us to a merchant and we get the deal and we're all excited about it. And then, we're excited we filled out that application, and then sometimes those applications don't get approved. They get denied. And then sometimes they get approved, and then within a week or within a month, those merchants are terminated. Again, it all goes back to fraud. I think yesterday or the day before I referenced a company. I was talking to an agent who had a similar experience with another company previously, that the company went out of business because in 1 month, some unscrupulous representatives of that company were responsible for $11 million in fraud, and that company went out of business. So very important that we do identify the fraud as quickly as possible and then, you know, eliminate it so that we can protect the company and the merchants and the customers and our agent base. So, yeah, and again, you have shared multiple stories with me that are just jaw-dropping stories of merchants who commit fraud and how they do it. So is there anything that I know we now require a business license for the merchants, and we also require pictures of the store inside and out. Can you address those and how that relates to, preventing some fraud to some degree?
Sure, and that can be very easily explained by just making sure that the merchant that we're approaching is actually a legitimate business and they have legitimate business intentions. We are sending money out over the NACHA network. We send ACH payments to merchants to pay for the devices that they sell to the customers or sell to us and rent to the customers. But through that requires some pretty significant investigation by our part. One of the rules for NACHA and outgoing ACH is that we have to comply with several national regulations as far as the transfer of money from one business entity to another. So starting with that alone, has that requirement to make sure that, the onus is on us to make sure that that business is a legitimate business and they have good business intentions. And, what we don't want to do here is allow Iolo to be challenged with bad customers, bad merchants in the acquisition of either of those, because we intend to be here for a long period of time. We want to do good business with good business, and it's just as simple as that. So, while, again, it's not difficult to get somebody's copy of their business license and a couple pictures of the store, we don't think that's erroneous at all. As a matter of fact, that's quite a bit less than some of the lengthy applications that other folks require just to get their rent-to-own programs. Again, it shows stability. It shows that they are in business to do business, and it shows that they are actually in the markets that we intend to, or the verticals that we intend to put our product into. And these are all good things, and I think from the agent side of the business, we should feel confident, because I'm a big advocate of the agent-based program, as you all know. And we should feel confident that the company is standing behind these types of rules and regulations to protect our business, because you know, we are going out and doing the work. We are acquiring the merchant. We are giving them the best training that we can possibly give them to represent a great company and a great product to their customers to help them increase their business. It would be a real challenge for us to not be able to provide this high level of security to our agent base to know that we want to do business with good business people. And that, in turn, is a simple requirement. Again, not erroneous by any means. A couple pictures and a snapshot of their business license is all that's really required, along with their application. So any questions on that, Bud?
No, but, you know, it makes perfect sense to me. Again, the more you think of it, and I always tell when I'm talking with agents, is put yourself in the other person's position. Put yourself in the position of the company. If this was your company, would you do that? So what I really would like you to address is the goal of Iolo. When a customer application comes in or when a merchant application comes in, what is the goal of Iolo? Could you explain that to everybody from your mouth, what our goal is at Iolo when an app comes in?
Well, there's two ways to look at that. There's two sides of our business that we take very, very seriously. One is the merchant side of our business because it ultimately acquires the consumer for us. And there's the consumer side of the business that we have to manage in order to keep the gas, light, electric on, and all those types of things to make sure that we actually do what we say we're going to do, and including that is paying agent commissions. Our goal as a company, I'll start with the merchant side of the business, is to approve every single merchant that applies to our company. Now, it pains me sometimes to see that there are, you know, hundreds of incomplete applications in our system of folks that either didn't complete the process or somebody didn't work through the process with the merchant to get it completed. But more importantly is once we do vet them and we get them into our system, our intent is to make sure that we treat that merchant with the utmost respect and provide them a product and a service to their customers that we can be that go-to company. And that's important to us. So our goal, obviously, is to approve as many merchants as we possibly can to get them into our system. Now, just approving merchants does not create a system, does not create a company, does not create customers. So at the same time, we want to, and our rules are designed, that we will approve every single customer based upon a couple of different things that they actually have. Again, not credit-based, but checking account, and everybody knows what those are, the 6 months job and the rest, but if they have those minimal qualifications and minimal income, we will approve them 100% of the time. The interesting thing is not everybody has that. And unfortunately, we all know the same situation is not everybody is very truthful on an application if they're asked some of those questions. So that's why we do go through a verification process to make sure. But our goal really as a company is to approve 100% of the merchants and 100% of the customers. Now, that being said, most of you know that through this process right now, that is virtually impossible to do. A little bit easier on the merchant side once we verify the information that's been submitted. But on the customer side, it makes it a little bit more difficult because it is based upon information gathered from various sources around to make sure that we can extend that customer the line that they need to make the purchase that they want. So customer is a little bit more difficult. Our intent is to do 100% of the time, but, you know, it could take anywhere from instantaneously a couple of seconds to upwards of a few minutes just to verify that consumer's information that was submitted is actually correct. And if it's not, we even go steps further to make sure that we can provide a bank form for them to run to their bank if we can't collect the information that we need because we're trying to approve everybody that we possibly can.
Well, that's exciting to hear, and I know that to be true. I know it's not, you know, our customer support staff and our merchant support team at corporate is not looking for reasons not to approve. They're looking for every reason to approve them, but there is a minimal amount of required information that has to be complete and accurate in order for that to happen. So thank you for sharing that with me. And the process works. We see it happening every day. We have new customers every day, new merchants every day, new agents every day. The process works. We just have to let it happen. Can you address for a minute, if every agent in the field knows that, I think, and believes that to be true and knows that's our goal, I think that would eliminate 90% of the calls to corporate. But can you address just for a minute some of the things that our staff at corporate is dealing with from calls from agents in the field, especially when they're in front of merchants.
Yeah, and we love to get calls. By the way, we've increased our staff now. Some folks have known Holly and Nicole, Donna. We've increased our agent support staff now to include some other folks as well. So one of the great things about us is we have the ability, those that have been here, to expand pretty rapidly into this. And as we've grown now, I'll share some numbers with you in just a minute, our call volume certainly has increased. One of the challenges always comes from being able to take care of a particular agent's questions while they're at the merchant. Again, we intend and hopefully will be able to approve every merchant and every customer that comes through our system. Unfortunately, as you know, the laws of averages, that will not be true 100% of the time. There will be a number of those that we will deny based on certain factors, and or merchants that we may not approve based on certain factors. But it's important to know that we're on the agent side. We're here to build the company based upon this agent model to acquire us the merchants that ultimately get us the customers. So we need the agents also to be on our side. We're here to help you. We're here to help you push your customers through. We're here to help you put your agents and merchants through. But remember, we have hundreds of agents. We have hundreds of merchants and thousands of merchants, I should say, and thousands of customers all vying for time. So it's important that when you do call, you know, please explain the situation as briefly and as thoroughly as possible, but also make sure that you know that we're on your side. We're here to help you get your merchant passed through. We're here to help you get your customer passed through. But if there is a decision made to the contrary, it's typically not open for interpretation, especially in front of the merchant or the customer. And more importantly, if that decision is made from a denial standpoint, it's because it's a denial. There's nothing that we can do internally. Our systems are set according to some standards, and once those standards have been met, they're either approved or denied. There's no reason to call and say, hey, can you just push this customer through? Why are they denied? We can't share that with you. Why is the merchant denied? Things of that nature, because of those standards already put in place. So we're here to help. We're here to make sure that the agent-based model works effectively, and we're here to approve as many people as we possibly can, both merchants and customers. And through that, we'll need some of your help as well, understanding our process, teaching your agents that join our business the same type of philosophy, and also getting them tuned into this type of show so they can learn a little bit more on our business philosophy inside the company.
Yeah, that's great. And I think if the agents know that we're all on the same team and we're all working towards the same goal, then we shouldn't have. I mean, I've actually been part of and been privy to some calls from merchants in or agents in the field that have been combative towards our customer support staff and merchant support staff, and that's crazy. We're all on the same team. We all want the same thing. But just because an answer comes back and it's not what you want to hear, doesn't mean that you need to be combative. And maybe you can address this quickly. I know we're running a little late, but I think it's valuable information everyone needs to hear. You can address this. You know, sometimes we hear in the field, well, how come they got approved by so-and-so and we didn't approve them, or they got this company offered them more money than we approved them for, and maybe you can address that real quickly.
Yeah, I sure can. And that, I hear that too. We'll hear that for the rest of our existence, and others will hear that too. I'm not sure if the same thing happens the other direction. I'm not sure if when we do approve, and we have these calls just as many, by the way, where we approve a customer for more money than somebody else had approved them for. So we hear both sides, which is
right.
A good thing. But I'm not sure if that merchant is actually calling that other company saying, hey, how can you approve this person for that much and these guys approved it for this much? It just seems to happen kind of a little bit one-sided. But it's important to know that because, our intent, we wouldn't survive without the merchant. Well, first of all, without the agent, like you explained earlier, without acquiring the merchant, acquiring the customer. Our company will only survive if we put money out on the street. And we want to do that is in the most efficient manner as possible. So let me share with you some numbers from the last several months. So this will show you the increase of what you're talking about here. Approval amounts vary. It depends on the person. You know what the answer is, truthfully? I don't know why the other company would approve them for X amount and we would only approve them for this amount, nor do I know if that's actually truthful or not. And there are some cases where it's just arbitrary and those things get said. So while we respect it, we have a very, what we think a very robust set of standards are, and we're working toward actually even making those things a little bit better. So case in point is this. On a merchant, I'm sorry, on a customer acquisition that might entail some larger dollar volume amounts, with our term only being 9 months right now, it might put that customer in a cost prohibitive place where they might not be able to manage that payment effectively and would have a higher chance of default. As you know, we've been working on some algorithms to change and have some options for our term length, which we're going to be working on for the remainder of this month and hopefully have that launched soon, where we can actually increase our term to 12, 18, 24 months to make that payment a little bit more effective. Then you'll also see some changes in our approval amounts going to higher things than what they are right now. So, but in relation to that, let me share some things with you that I think are really exciting. And while this call was very beneficial, I think, to get the word out on what Iolo stands for as far as the approvals of customers and merchants and our goal to get that 100%, let me tell you what the agents have been able to accomplish in just a short period of time. The number of agents has drastically increased from January to February, but also right along with that is the number of merchants and businesses that have been involved in the company and the sales. There was a 400% increase in the number of deals between the January time frame and the February time frame, just closing out the month of February yesterday. I can tell you that out of that, in January, the average contract amount was $458.77, but in February, that number jumped to $737.47. But that is absolutely huge. That's almost double the contract amount per sale for each and every customer sale that a merchant does. Those numbers are absolutely phenomenal. Those agents that are out there getting these merchants signed up, getting them training, getting them customers in the systems will see now as commissions become available and posted in your back office by the 15th, we're actually on time, and those will be posted, how important that number increase is on that average sale and what that means to somebody actually gaining commission. You guys, multiple time increase, four times increase from January to February, but almost double in the minimum average amount of contract price attributed to each particular customer that was brought into the system. That is absolutely fantastic, Bud, and that's kudos and hats off to the agent base and the number of agents that are getting involved in the business of bringing merchants on, so everybody should be happy and proud about that.
Yeah, those again, I'm seeing the numbers too. I'm seeing the growth. It's amazing, and here's a good thing. The more training materials and the more marketing materials and that stuff that we get out in the field and get available, those numbers are just going to continue to increase. The more of these radio shows we have every single day and the more agents that plug in either live or listen online at IolaRadio.com, the more well-educated and armed they're going to be when they go out in the field. And again, I'm so excited. I truly believe that by the end of this year, we will be the number one company in this industry. And again, this company is changing so rapidly. It doesn't look like the same company as it did 2 weeks ago because we didn't have furniture and bedding 2 weeks ago. It doesn't look like the same company it was a month ago or 2 months ago. And I can only imagine what the company will look like, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months down the road or 6 months down the road from now. I'm so excited. I can't wait for Iolabration 2015 and all the great things that are happening in the meantime. But to be able to get these people up on stage and present them with some huge checks and commission and bonuses and stuff, I'm just so excited about that. So thank you, Alan, and truly thank you to everyone at corporate staff. I know everybody has the right heart because I've been there and met everyone. I know they all have the same goal in mind, and that's to do everything we can to ultimately help everybody involved, and that's the customers, merchants, and the agents as well. So very excited to be part of this company and part of this journey as we do make our way to number one.
Yeah, I appreciate that too. Everybody's hard work. You're right. The company doesn't look the same. And I'm just thinking back about 60 days ago, we were just talking about a few of these things that we're actually implementing today. And we've got a long ways to go. We know that. We've got a model now that has been proven. We've got a company that works. We're putting an infrastructure together that is unlike any other company in existence today. What's more important than anything else is that we're doing it based upon the feedback we've gotten from our agents. Now, I can tell you, as I've said from the very first day, not everything is perfect, nor will we ever be perfect. If we say we're perfect, we fall back on our laurels and we'll fail right from that point and that attitude moving forward. So there is always room for improvement. I see it every single day. We make changes here almost daily to make sure that we can stay up with the current marketplace, number one, stay current with our merchants and stay current with our agents and our customers. You know, we're a growing company just like any other company. We're not going to have everything 100% 100% of the time. We will grow into this marketplace, not asking anybody to be patient with us. What I'm asking for is to understand that we're putting just the same level of commitment toward this business as you are into your agency, and we're doing everything that we can as fast as we can to support it. New things come up. This is a new industry for many companies, not just ours. And this model being associated with it is going to drive some things that we've never thought of in the past. So while that happens continuously, I'm proud to say that I'm surrounded with some great folks. Our corporate staff is wonderful. Our sales staff is wonderful. Our agent base and all of you are fantastic. And this is the way that we build a business to last and stand the test of time. So I appreciate being on this radio show. I enjoy being a guest here. Tony, I can't thank you enough for hosting this show. Every single day, the information that you put forward in the format here is nothing short of spectacular. Bud's involvement, Donnie Crisp, Rodney, of course, everybody that gets involved here and the guests on, and every agent that's out in the field that's joining our OLO or hearing about us for the first time, it's important to get yourself involved, get trained, listen to these radio shows, get some folks involved, and actually talk to a few merchants because that's going to make the difference between making your agency work or not. So thank you for letting me be a guest. I look forward to the next time I'm on. If there's anything I can do to help anybody, just let me know, bud.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you again for taking time out of your schedule, and I'm going to turn it over to Tony. Go ahead, Tony.
Man, we really appreciate it, Alan. Thank you so much. I think it's been a stellar show, and I think we can go ahead and wrap it up. You know, you may have some questions here. Let's say I've got one guy that I do want to bring on real quick. I just want to say good morning to Micah. Micah, thank you for holding. I know that you're excited about this conversation today.
Wow. I am so excited about this call. I feel like I get an insight as to what's happening as a whole with the company. My thing about Iola has always been that I feel it's a long-term play, and I feel that, growing with the company – taking the time to build something really solid that will last for a really, really long time instead of, kind of bouncing between these flash-of-the-pan companies that promise the world but won't be here tomorrow. So thank you for your leadership, Alan. I'm here because I believe in you, and I know you can do it. So I'm in for the long haul. One of the questions that came up in the field, Alan, is I have a gentleman, he's 55 years old. He started three companies, sold them. I mean, he's been through a lot, but he's really seeing this as a real opportunity for him. And he was a little bit concerned with the wording in the contract as far as, we own our business, we can sell it, so it's an asset for us. And there's wording in the contract that kind of somewhat says that Iola reserves the right to sort of, take back the business or be able to sort of cancel out the deal that we have with Iola. I've met you, and I know that that's not your intention. I know it's legal jargon, but do you have any insight to share about that wording?
I do. And Micah, thank you as well. You are actually one of the first agents that I met when you came to the corporate office early on. I'm so glad that you're so engaged and involved, and you've seen our evolution from the very first day up until where we're at today. And I think you'll be one of the first to say that we've come a long way and we've got a long way to go. So I appreciate you and your team being involved because, like everybody, we can't build a company alone. So I appreciate that. To answer your question, there's two ways to look at this. When we first put the policies and procedures and the terms and conditions together, of course, legal gets heavily involved from two things. One is venue. The other one is what happens if. And those are the two most difficult. One's easy, venue is simply set and that's it. But what happens if become a little bit more challenging. So as far as a business that is owned by a company that is fairly straightforward in the policies and procedures. If you're if you happen to unfortunately meet your demise or your maker, if you have it under a corporation or a business entity of some sort, even a DBA would qualify. That is obviously set with a will or standard that you would have normally in those type of things, and is willable to somebody else as your wishes may desire. If it is an individual, it's a little bit different from a corporate law standpoint. If it's an individual, of course, it has to be put in a will. There's joint tenancy of ownership. There's other things that might be involved. But there is a remedy of cure, which means that, and if I recall correctly, the remedy to cure is pretty much decided on a one-way street. If you don't like what we do and we don't like what you do, we have a chance to divorce ourselves without any further challenges. Now, where that becomes difficult is in a situation where you have a business built and you have a residual income being built up. That's not at risk here because of the way the compensation plan is structured and the policies and procedures say, from a dormancy standpoint or a vetting standpoint, once you reach either of those two milestones, you can't lose what you've already created. So if you look back at it, I think it's pretty clear that says, if you don't like me and I don't like you, we have a chance to divorce each other at that point. The only thing that would be put at risk at that point would be if you forfeit any of the business that you've already had. But dormancy and vetting take care of both of those issues. So, Micah, I hope I didn't steer that question in a wrong direction, but if you need further clarification or we can help with some points that I might not have done there, just let me know and I can get with the gentleman and or get our legal counsel involved to see if there's a more secure way to make them feel comfortable.
All right. Alan, thank you so much for your time today. You know, I know everyone listening is really appreciative of all the hard work that you and the entire staff are doing at IOLO, and we sincerely appreciate it, and we'd love to have you back anytime you can make time to come back again. Thanks so much. We'll end the show with that, Bud. I think it's time to roll it on up and get out here and start talking to some merchants and start working with some more agents in the field. We appreciate everybody for joining in today. We'll be back tomorrow live for another episode of IOLO Radio. We will be here for you. You show up and this thing works.
Okay, that's a wrap. Another great episode of IOLO Radio. Be sure and share today's episode with your team and invite them to listen to today's show at IOLORadio.com. Let's work together to help everyone take their business to the next level with IOLO, the very best rent-to-own program in America today. We'll see you soon.